We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is already a very nerve-wracking edition of the CHGO Bears podcast. Great to see you. Welcome in. It is Friday. I am thrilled to be sitting in the seat for Will DeWitt today, who's taking the day off, and the CHGO Bears podcast, of always, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app. Use that promo code CHGO when you sign up. Now, the nerves right now are not because I'm hanging out with Nicholas Moriano, because that brings me calm and brings me joy and brings me confidence. However, we do have a new producer today who's learning the ropes. You may have heard of him. He's also a host at CHGO Bears and other shows. And producing the program from Bragg Central is Gregory P. Braggs. Do you know what you're doing? Because you're making me nervous.
I slightly know what I'm doing. We've already messed up once, but we're good. We're rolling.
Congratulations.
The plane has taken off. When you take off and you land, that's the scariest part. But flying will be just fine in the air.
Okay. So, all right. You got us off the
ground here.
I was trying to lighten your load over there.
I got a babysitter.
Yeah. And Lawrence is babysitting. So if anything goes wrong, we're okay. But I just think people should know that in addition to being a dynamic host here at CHGO, Braggs is now also doing some behind the scenes producing, which is going to make us all better. And we appreciate him stepping up in every single damn way that he has for us since me and Greg actually got hired the same day, back in last September, when CHGO made arguably either the best or the two worst decisions they've ever made. One of the two, depending on your perspective. What do you think, Nick?
I think it's the best. Just knowing Greg and how you guys operate markets, it's been a great addition to the team. And I'll tell you this, Greg called me up earlier today. I had literally just gotten out of the shower and picked up the phone. He wanted to know how to do a little bit more of the behind the scenes stuff. So, you know, went in and sent Greg a couple of videos. Hopefully they help him with what he has to do behind the scenes. But it's been a great addition. It's going to make a great Friday show to end the week off right. So I'm pumped. Those nerves are now settled. Get into the show. And like Greg said, we're going to fly that plane.
We're flying, baby. And thanks for jumping in, everybody. I hope we have an active chat today, as per always. I actually, Nick, if you don't mind, I'd like to take a slight pivot before we get into a lot of Travis Gibson talk and just sort of everything that came out of OTAs this week that we haven't covered. But I'm doing my prep this morning, right? I'm hanging out. It was a good prep morning. Had a healthy smoothie. Actually, it was an average prep morning. Went for the vanilla covered frosty thingy that was delicious, in addition to the smoothie. So it was a 50-50. Nobody cares about this. Let me get going to where I'm at. But so I'm reading about Tom Brady, and that was your top story on ESPN. He's not coming back. And, you know, then it just underlines that he is now, you know, a part of the Las Vegas Raiders organization. The Big Brady, joined them in their ownership group. It's, of course, pending NFL approval. And, 24 current NFL team owners have to approve Brady's partnership. He's also a part of Davis's WNBA champion, Las Vegas Aces ownership group. So he's got a good friend in Mark Davis, even though he never played for Mark Davis. So congratulations to Tom as if he needs anything more good going on in his life. But he's earned it, so congratulations. But he got me thinking, I think we would all agree, right? The Bears organization right now is in the best spot that it ever has been in all of our Bears lives. And I include the old heads like myself in there. When Jim Finks was having the 1983 draft and finding guys like Mark Bortz late and drafting Hall of Famers like Jimbo Covert, even though it would have been better if they had drafted Dan Marino. But regardless, on their way to winning their first Super Bowl, I would argue that it's in a better position now, fingers crossed a little bit, with Kevin Warren at the top and Ryan Poles as a second-year GM. The Flus has still got a ways to go to prove himself, but I certainly don't think we have an idiot in that seat. I think we've got somebody who's competent. We'll see if he can what he does when there's more talent around. That's still to be determined. And Poles has got stuff to prove as well. They all do. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, what's the next level Kevin Warren play that he could pitch to the McCaskies and say, hey, I would like to get this really smart guy, dynamic thinker, former Bear perhaps, or it doesn't have to be. Tom Brady didn't play for the Raiders. I would like to add him into the organization. Who would that be? And, when I had this dynamic thought, it was on the fly, and I called good old Gregory, and I'm like, and I had one name that popped in my head that made sense to me. And that the first guy that I thought of was the Yale graduate, the Super Bowl champion, who's been around the team and has a lot of thoughts and seems super smart whenever he opens up his mouth. Why wouldn't you want Gary Fensick a part of this organization in some way, shape, or form? You're pointing at me for those in the audio world. So you agree with that thought, right? I mean, wouldn't that be sweet if the Bears announced that Gary Fensick or someone of that ilk, but Gary is the first name that came to mind, is a part of the organization, is going to be in some senior advisor role who is going to further steer this ship in the right direction?
Mark, that's the name in when you put that in our rundown here. I'm like, the one name that came up was Gary Fensick, and he's been around. He was there last year at training camp. He was just kind of around watching the camp, watching the practices. And, if the Bears were to do something similar that looks like the Raiders are going in that direction, I'm wondering, I don't know if it doesn't hurt the organization. You're bringing in someone who's obviously knows the Bears organization, knows what it looks like at its peak, right? He was a part of that. And you get a player's perspective on things, which is far different from any business person's going to have with how they operate the whole operation of a franchise. So I think there is value in that. And to kind of go back to Tom Brady, I wonder exactly what would his role exactly be? But he's obviously a smart guy. He's been a part of a lot of winning in his career with the New England Patriots and, obviously the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a year. But I think that's the one guy that I was thinking, I was trying to think outside the box, but that's the one that I think makes the most sense.
I mean, literally, if his one role, I can name three off the top of my head, but if his one role is to sit in the box with ownership on game day and point out exactly what's going on the field that he sees that the standard person who watches football doesn't see, to me, there's value in that. If Fensick was doing the same thing, that'd be awesome. If Fensick was showing up, every now and then at practice and just watching what's going on and you could bounce this, and for the record, the Bears have shown a willingness to be way more open than they have in the past. The Flus is welcoming, Dave. We saw Dave Wannstedt out at Hallis the other day. He's standing on the field. He's not standing with the media. He's right underneath the goalpost. He's watching. They're having lengthy conversations. Flus and Poles is talking to him. So it's like they're not, they don't feel like, you have to have some confidence in who you are as a person and your talents to bring in somebody who might know more than you, which, you know, a lot of mom and pop shops, they don't want to be told what they're doing wrong. This is how we do it. Get out of my way. I don't care if it's wrong. This is how it is. I'm not going to cede any level of my power or my authority to you when it's quote unquote my team, not even quote unquote. It is their team. So this current regime actually feels more open to doing something like this. And Kevin Warren strikes me as a guy who might be willing to do something creative that could add on to the organization too.
Yeah, and we've already seen, like, he's always bringing in Charles Peanut Tillman, right? He brings in former Bears to come speak to these guys. So the Bears are very open to going to the past to help them with the present. I think that's a good thing, especially because there's a lot of these people, a lot of these players, former guys that had success in the league that can just share some knowledge. And obviously that's a very when they're doing that, when Eberflus having Tillman speak to the team, it's like how he had success, how you handle success, adversity, those little things. But I've always liked the idea of having a player's perspective in the bigger scheme of things, because they just get things that, you know, like I said earlier, that the business end maybe misses out on because they're so focused on the business side of things. The players have a huge portion of why any organization is going to obviously have success. So it's an idea that, you know, maybe if the Bears start winning, they look to add something like that as they're still developing, building this new regime that Ryan Poles has started here.
So for the record, we put five names down, and chat world, those watching live, feel free to throw some in there that perhaps you would be interested in. And we just did Bears, or I should say Bragg says just did Bears and myself a little bit, because I had Fensick, and having done Bears postgame shows on WGN radio for 7 years with Dan Hampton, the dude has an incredible football mind, super old school. He would not, you know, taking time off from practice and, you know, participation trophies, any of that ain't going to be 99's game. But he is very smart. And when I used to watch games with him, he would just see what's going on. Him and OB, for that matter, both of them would see things. Do you see what the linebacker did there? You see what? No, I didn't, because I'm a normal football fan and I didn't see what all, you know, 11. It's just the way you would see it was always impressive to me. Peanut Tillman's on our list. Doug Plank, we had on the show, Plurex put in there, super smart, super intense. And Patrick Manley, who's also been on the program, all making the list.
I like those names. That's a good list of Bears players that have all, one, either have had success with the team, or obviously have been here for a long time, have seen it good and bad. So it's a good list of players that could be. You never know, but the good list of players that, you know, if the Bears are looking to find that position, those might be the guys to start.
Matt Nagy in the chat saying Matt Nagy. That's an excellent choice there. Adam Tremblett going with Mike Glennon, one of the great signings in the history of the Bears. Yeah, your boy Boogie wants himself in there. Mm. So, you know, I'm not exactly against your boy Boogie. He's been a good supporter of Carm. I'm for it. That's my creative suggestion to the Bears today. Let's you know, what they call it in some lands around here, if you flip on the up, things are going well. You know, you don't get satisfied right there. You look for ways in which you can take this positive momentum. And what's that? Yes, Braggs. What's that car racing game, off road, where you hit the nitro? Boom, 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 boom. That's what I like. That's what I'd like to see. A boom, 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 boom. Let's go.
Yeah, I was partial to Cruisin' USA back in the day.
You know? Great game. Like
great game. Yeah. No, the name I always used to throw out there before we hired Kevin Warren, and went to your point about face of football operations, so to speak, Peyton Manning. Like, I know he's not a Bear, but
that'd be incredible.
Whoever wants to hire him to be the face of your organization, like, to me, that's the home run move. I used to talk about that for years, but I'm happy with what Kevin Warren's doing now.
Yeah, and look, I love that name. I would, you know, this is, you know, Friday podcast, you know, there's nothing based any of my thoughts right now, but I just, other than just being creative, I would not be surprised if this happened. I really wouldn't, based on nothing, but it just feels logical to me.
They also brought in like an assistant GM, right? That was never at the Bears before Ryan Poles got there. So I think they're thinking outside the box and not limiting themselves on what can help the organization move forward in the right direction. So you don't, I wouldn't rule anything out with Ryan. As long as Ryan Poles is here, you know, there are things that haven't been here with this Bears organization previously. So keep it open. And when that does happen, Mark, we'll come back to June 2nd at 12:10 p.m. and be like, well, Mark told you. He told you. You got that thought and now it's here.
Damn straight. All right. So I sort of bogarted out of the show. So I want to go back to you, Nick. Where do you want to go next? You want to go, you want to hit some Herbert? You want to hit some Gibson? You make the call, brother.
Yeah, I think, let's go to Travis Gibson. Maybe we'll circle back for Khalil Herbert in a little bit here. Just talk about the defensive ends in general. I thought we got a kind of a mixed reaction after going back and reading the transcripts of what was said from Matt Eberflus, Alan Williams, Travis Smith, the defensive line coach, on just a defensive line group in general. You ask Alan Williams, he feels optimistic, right, about what this group can do. And you asked him the question, is anybody standing out? And the guy he singled out was Travis Gibson, saying that he looks bigger, looks stronger. Then you ask Matt Eberflus, though, Mark, and I think it's interesting because he said, keep competing. We brought some guys in. We might bring in some other guys. We obviously brought some D tackles in and all that. We'll find out what the green rush is. So he first immediately goes to keep on competing because there could be other people here. And then Travis Smith, the defensive line coach, got a chance to talk to him for a little bit on Wednesday's OTAs. And he was basically saying, well, Travis Gibson now has this great opportunity because there's an open end position right now. And he's going to be playing on the left end and the right end, something that he didn't do before. But for me, I don't know if Travis Gibson's job is safe or in jeopardy at this point. And I know there was a report earlier saying that the Bears organization loves him. Maybe that's true. But I feel like this is definitely a pivotal year for Travis Gibson and for the other D linemen at the edge position to really show what they can do, because clearly they did not do enough in 2022. And that needs to change this upcoming season.
Well, there's a lot of things that are interesting with Travis, right? Number one, last year was disappointing. You were hoping for more, but I think logically you look at it and say the dude did not have any help around him. Mm-hmm. He's not premium that he can do it himself. So it's just a hard evaluation. Okay, fine. This year, better, I think, for sure. But how much better? How much of an immediate impact can Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens and Justin Jones, with another year in the system with maybe more talent around him, how much more push can they get up front that he can be be more efficient attacking from either side? I like the concept of either side for him, because whoever I want him going against the lesser talent. Mm-hmm. Who's is it a better left tackle or a better right tackle? Who's he more likely to be? Let's put him over there. Let's have some flexibility. That seems super basic. And especially with a guy who, you know, if he's outmanned, it's just there's a great chance that you're just not going to notice him for the entire day. But here's the other thing with Travis. Like, if you're not willing to make a bet on him right now, which I don't think the Bears are, if he has a huge year, which is, I would say, unlikely, but if you want to be optimistic, let's say it's possible. Well, if he has a huge year, dude's a free agent. And then you're going to have to pay him more than you want to pay him. So it's almost like, do the Bears believe in Gibson enough right now to make him, because they have money. We've always been talking about Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney and whatnot. Do they have any interest in making Gibson a below market, I would say, offer, just so you have that at worst case rotational piece that if it doesn't work out, he doesn't make another step, you cut him and you eat that money? Like, to me, if you're optimistic on him, he's a guy to look at right now to try to get signed. And if I'm Travis Gibson, I'm not sure if I'm going to get another contract. I'd be interested in getting a couple more millions of dollars in my bank account, so I, you know, am sleeping even more comfortable at night. It's something to at least consider.
Yeah, Mark. So he's still in 2023, he'll make a base salary of just over 2.7 million, just under 2.8 million. So it's still under contract. I wonder too, though, like, why maybe I'm trying to think of the whys he had, and not to go back to Matt Nagy here, but why did he have not a not successful season in the first year of Eberflus's scheme? Well, he was coming from a 3-4 to a 4-3. There's a different transition there. And we're going to have our great producer back there pull up a stat that I think could be relevant as to why maybe Travis Gibson wasn't as productive as he could be, especially because, you know, there, like you mentioned, there weren't a lot of guys opposite of him that could help him out. And it, if you're watching the YouTube, this it's a tough graph to see because it's so small. But what I want to kind of focus you in on here, this is literally a pass rushing. Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say, literally, if you're not watching the YouTube, you're not missing anything because I have no idea what's on this thing. I need a magnifying glass. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really tiny here, but ESPN did a chart of the pass rush win rate, essentially, against double teams. And if you look to the right of it, and again, tiny little font here, but Travis Gibson's actually the fifth most double teamed edge rusher according to this graph. I made sure I read this right. I was looking, I'm like, wait, Travis Gibson, out of all people, he's just right behind Za'Darius Smith and Aiden Hutchinson. And then if you look at the top of the x-axis, you see the guys that were able to actually do well at versus double teams. But Travis Gibson was arguably it looks like the fifth most double teamed edge rusher last season, 2022. And so, and then now I'm going back again, going to the whys. I don't know why I'm doing this today, but is it because the defense was out there a lot? Was it because there was nobody opposite of him? The opposing offense was like, well, we don't really have any other threat. Might as well throw the double team at Travis Gibson. He was second on the team with 3 sacks, but it's like he was facing a lot of double teams. And now I wonder if that's going to be the same in 2023.
Well, let me ask you this, Nick, because Doug Van Dorn asked in the chat. Just remember, Nick, the DNs in this scheme are not asked to penetrate. It's a different philosophy. Their defense uses the interior alignment to penetrate and DNs to just seal the edges. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, Doug, I'm glad you brought this up because this is where I think things could change for the DNs. They did not have the guys in the middle to help out the outside whatsoever. Justin Jones was their most effective guy at doing that. But now you have... now you have Zach Pickens, now you have Jervon Dexter and Justin Jones, and you have that rotation of guys to keep it things fresh. So whoever the ends are out there, they can help the interior guys are, they can help the ends that are out there. So I think it could be different for these defensive ends. And now you're having Travis Gibson line up on both sides. So hopefully that creates better opportunities and overall success for whoever is lined up on the edge in this Bears defense. But that's definitely going to be a factor because they just didn't have the bodies interior wise to help out the guys on the edge.
This is I'm going to call this an outstanding conversation, which we're going to continue in 1 second here. And I want to get into a little bit of Dominic Robinson too. But as you see, I just turned up the sunlight in my room, if you're watching on YouTube, and I am taking on the sun with gear built to last with our friends at Shady Rays, which has you covered with warm weather that is staring you in your face today. It's awesome outside. I hope you get to enjoy it this afternoon. We got the premium polarized shades at an affordable price. You know it. You love it. Shady Rays, the independent. You're not helping out some huge corporation here. You're going with the independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product, just as good as any expensive pair that you've worn. And that expensive pair, you're probably going to break it. But you do that at Shady Rays, lose, break. Whenever you do it, they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. I mean, think about how awesome that is. Break the pair. Hey, dude. Hey, Shady. Hook me up, baby. I broke these. No problem. By the way, if you don't like them either when you get them, you can return them within 30 days. They will give you your money back. No questions asked. And exclusively for you, the CHGO amazing listener, Shady Rays, best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com. Use that code CHGO. You get 50% off 2 or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try it for yourself. Shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 amazing people.
Mark, it's getting close to Father's Day, and it's just right around the corner. And if you haven't gotten your dad anything yet, don't worry, because Manscaped's got you covered. You and I both know he needs some serious grooming in his life, so grab your dad the Performance Package 4.0, and he'll thank you for helping him to look at his absolute best. It's a win-win situation for both mom and dad. go to manscaped.com and use the code CHGO for 20% off plus free shipping. I'm someone who enjoys being well-groomed, and I learned that from my dad. Constantly getting my hair cut, keeping the beard or mustache lined up, and also, you know, keeping my chest hair under control. It starts from the top, starts from your dad, right? Doing all that keeps me confident in my look, and it will do the same for your father as well. And Manscaped is dedicated to helping you increase your confidence and level up your full body grooming game with the Performance Package 4.0. The kit comes with the Essential Lawnmower 4.0, waterproof, cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. And having the right tools for grooming is essential. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CHGO at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And don't forget to use that code CHGO. And also, don't forget where you came from, guys. This year, show your original home some love with Manscaped.
I love it. Let's get dad to the next level. Come Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads and whatever role you are a dad out there. Dog dads, kid dads, step dads, uncle dads, whatever the hell. Whenever you're in that dad role, Carm to Braggs, that type of thing. Happy Father's Day to me. What up, Braggsy? I'm kidding. slash vice versa. All right. As we continue we're going to talk to the offensive coaches, by the way, this week. Our last OTA coverage will be out there on Wednesday for those who are interested in that. But this was all defense this week. Did you glean anything else from the 22 pages of notes that you so graciously sent me this morning, Nick, of all the comments that literally came out of there? I didn't hear enough about Dominique Robinson. Like, I'm wondering, is this guy just the forgotten man? I mean, let's go back. Week one, he grabbed Trey Lance. He ripped him to the ground. This wide receiver turned defensive end who, yes, needs to put on weight, but supremely athletic, very likable, rooting for him. We were hoping for somebody to take off, and it didn't happen. But to what you just underlined with Trevis, there was just, I mean, the circumstances were so incredibly difficult last year for those guys to succeed. Hey, Dominique, go up against the premium left tackle every week. Good luck to you, and beat that guy with – sometimes even getting doubled. I mean, he was just like, it was non-factor city. So, but there was part of me watching him and just that I was hopeful that there's something that could be unlocked. I haven't heard it yet. So, I mean, he's another guy that's obviously on the clock.
Yeah. And that's a guy I think forgotten is like almost a good way to describe it, because even when I was at OTAs the past 2 days, like my attention never gravitated towards Dominique Robinson. Maybe there's a bunch of new faces out there. You immediately see it, like a Tremaine Edmonds. I really keyed in on like a DeMarcus Walker. I liked what I've been seeing just with him and his one-on-one drills and just how he kind of goes about his business. But for me, like Dominique Robinson, what Travis Smith said, I think applies to all these DNs. He said, basically, this scheme is really simple. What's going to make you effective in this game, essentially, and it's going to all start with your stance and your get off. And I think that's going to be something that if whoever the D end is in on any specific play, Walker, Robinson, Gibson, any one of those guys, if they can't show the effectiveness with the get off and being in a good stance, then you're not going to have an effective rush. So I think for a guy like Dominique Robinson, still learning the position. Like, I don't care that he had 1 year of NFL experience. He wasn't naturally a DN. We were just talking about it. He was a wide receiver. He played on the offense before. So it takes time to get comfortable with all these new things. So I think that's going to be a guy. He's a wild card for me right now, Mark. I want to see Dominique Robinson succeed. I want to see him get to the quarterback. I want to see more of what he did week one in 2022 throughout the course of a season. But I think it's all going to go to the very basics. Your stance and your get off. And that's why going back really quickly to Travis Gibson, I know he's going to now play on the opposite side. he also has to then learn the stance for that. It's not just an apples-to-apple situation. Now it's the opposite hand down. And now it's a learning curve you have to get, you know, when he's out there at a different spot to have an effective rush. So it's going to be, I think, you know, it's going to take some time for Travis Gipson when he plays on the opposite end side to be effective. But that can be said for all these new guys that are now in the system. But hopefully Dominic Robinson can really show some signs of growth, because the Bears just need really anybody to step up. Because if not, Eberflus already alluded to it. They're looking at guys at all positions, but I know it feels like the defensive end is like the priority if they're actually going to bring in another free agent at some point.
We're rooting on you, Dom Rob. You're a good man. By the way, my bad here. I want to get the super chat. It's a little late because we moved on from the topic, but Stephen Weatherford earlier in the show was saying, can Seth Rollins winning heavyweight champ be a sign for Chicago winning our chip? Hey, Steven, who the hell knows? I was, you know, I guested the other day on football night in Chicago with Haw, and they gave me the pop quiz of, you know, are the Bears playoff contenders? Nick, are the Bears playoff contenders? What do you think?
Everything has to click, Mark, and even then it's like you're in the hunt. I don't think – what was that?
That's the question, in the hunt.
Yeah.
A contender. Who are you exactly afraid of in the division right now? Just out of curiosity.
Detroit's at the top, right? At the NFC North. Okay. But if you look at the NFC, Mark, like.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Who? You know, right, they're not the Eagles. They're not the Niners. I got it. No problem. We're talking about being a playoff contender. We're talking about seven teams making the playoffs. We're talking about DJ Moore coming. We're talking about second year Braxton Jones. We're talking about brand new right tackle Darnell Wright. Hard to imagine that's getting worse, right? It's got to be better. The quarterback's got to be better, right? I would think that Darnell Mooney's got to be better. Chase Claypool's has to be better. These are low bars. Is the defense going to be better than last year? It better freaking be. They were 1-7 in one score games. I don't see a scenario that the Bears are. I mean, maybe, who the hell knows? It's June the 2nd. Training camp's, you know, still almost 2 months away. But playoff contender? You telling me they're going to get swept by the Vikings and the Packers and the Lions this year? Better not freaking happen. I'm looking at the
NFC teams right now, Mark. Like, okay, we have the Eagles as a top, and I see who is this? I see Chubbs A2's super chat here. Muse Mike for saying Detroit's at the top. They're at the top of the NFC North, right? They literally, were a team that. I think it's on the rise, and that's, we'll see how it's Detroit though. We'll see how it goes this year. I don't know if they're going to sweep the Bears like every other team in the NFC North.
Are we writing Minnesota off that easily? I mean, I know they had a very fortunate year in one score games, but it's funny how we vaulted Detroit over them when Minnesota was the division champs last year.
Yeah. For me, like, I've never been a fan of Kirk Cousins, and just, I think there's always a very low ceiling with them, with him at quarterback. I know he's consistent. He's going to put up numbers, and they obviously got Jordan Addison. So they got some more weapons there, but again, that ceiling's low for me with them. But looking at other teams, Mark, like, we don't know what the Green Bay Packers are going to be with Jordan Love.
They suck. They suck.
They suck. That could be it. Carolina's going to be, you know, probably fighting for the first round pick next year. So is a Arizona Cardinals who are on the Bears schedule. Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield's their quarterback. There's a lot of winnable games. There's a lot of, I think, just things that play in the Bears' favor here. So if they're not in the hunt by its time, it's like what, the week 13, 14? Like, that's a disappointment. A big time for me. Like, all the things you mentioned, quarterback's gonna be better. Defense is going to be able to stop the run, get to the quarterback, hopefully more effectively. things are going to get better for this Bears team. They have some key free agent additions. Like, the NFC is open, and the Bears, they capitalize, hit on their marks. Everything goes right. They can definitely be playing for, you know, position later on after the regular season.
Chubbs is giving you some body blows here, Nick, so we're just going to get his super chats out of the way. He says, but these you're are, a big fan are, of Beta QB in Detroit. Is this true?
I mean, he put up some good numbers. Jared Goff, he surprised me last year. I'll say that with how he played. I think he played really well in that system. So, and I think he's only going to get better knowing it. But, yeah, you can't just write off Detroit because they're the Lions. They're going to – they have some playmakers over there, and they showed. Remember the last time the Bears played Detroit? Like, that was not very good. So give Detroit its respect, but we'll see when it comes to season how things play out.
Isn't the last time they played them, wasn't that Cairo Santos' missed extra point that cost us the game?
No, the last time was in Detroit where the Bears got their asses kicked.
That didn't matter. That was the last game of the year. They were done. It was cooked. It was New Year's Day. It was whatever. Was that the last game of the year? I don't even remember. Was it the second
one? No,
last?
That was that was Minnesota. Minnesota's last game of the year where they had basically a preseason game.
Yeah, right. And then, yeah, they started whoever they started at quarterback. It's all a blur on this Friday. I've been drinking starting at 8, and that's not true. I'm completely sober and together. Listen, the Detroit's going to be fine. They'll be good. They'll be competitive. They ain't the the Patriots dynasty that they got going on up there. So I'm not trying to discredit the Lions, and I'm not trying to make it out like we're going up against whatever Aaron Rodgers in his prime and all of that. So let's be in contention. I'm not asking too much. By the way, the Bears were sending out an email as the show's going on today. One of the great things that they do, it's in the headline of the email or the headline of the press release is Chicago Sports Franchises Continue Alliance and Supportive Solutions Addressing Gun Violence in Chicago. Chicago Sports Alliance, a collaboration between the Bears, Blackhawks, Bulls, Cubs, and White Sox, established in December 2017, announced the continuation of its effort to lend financial support and team resources to local evidence-based solutions on gun violence. As part of the ongoing efforts, the Alliance and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation will provide a total of $1.5 million in grants to support five impactful programs and organizations that are directly addressing the issue of gun violence in Chicago. So from all of us to the Bears, and really on this one, Jerry Reinsdorf has been an absolute huge leader with both the Bulls and the Sox. We all know that our city can be a lot better place for everybody. And I just appreciate the fact that these guys have shown a willingness to be involved. So we all want the city to be safer. We all want people's lives to not be impacted. And the fact that they're have some boots on the ground in this is great. So I just appreciated seeing that email. I figured I'd give a shout out to it. Speaking of the city, apparently Taylor Swift's at Soldier Field the next three nights. Is that right?
That is right, Mark. It's going to be crazy over there.
Are you going?
I am not, but I do have a friend. My friend's fiance really wants tickets. I don't know how it's going to happen. So if anybody knows, send me a DM. Game time is definitely the way to go. But I think they're going for over a grand. Easily over a grand, which is nuts.
I looked today. Hold on. I'll look right now. Braggs, are you going to Taylor Swift?
I am not. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan.
Not a Swiftie. So,
no.
What did you just put up on our screen?
I got to give a shout out to our social media team and Casey. They did such a great job with this Taylor Swift thread. Mm-hmm. So you got to check it out on Twitter. Had a bunch of really good nuggets, Chicago sports nuggets intertwined with Taylor Swift albums. But I am not going to Taylor Swift. And if I had tickets, I'd be selling them, because I don't care how big a Taylor Swift fan you are. Make that money. Stand outside the stadium. Jeez, it's crazy how much they're going for. But I am impressed by how big the stage is. The stage like goes all the way past like the 50-yard line. So like for somebody like me that like, goes to some concerts and gets in the pit right up on the stage, a lot of people have an opportunity to be right up on the stage. It's definitely a pretty cool stage design they have.
According to Game Time, your cheapest in $356, which is behind the stage, the way I'm looking at it right now. It doesn't seem right, but whatever. $710. If you did that with fees, it goes up to $957. So $1,957 to be in the door. They say Game Time says the best deal right now is the floor, section C, so right in the middle, 10 rows from the stage. Braggs, I got you in there for $3,349.
Oh my gosh.
You're a nice guy.
Now,
Luke Stuckmeyer from our CHGO Cubs team is putting out on Twitter, I've got two tickets. Who wants them? Trying to start a riot.
I did see that. I commented on that tweet. I'm like, whoa, hey, Luke. Let's make something happen here. So you got my
now. Did you, not to go completely off the rails here, because I know this isn't After Dark, but did you see the articles about how these Taylor Swift fans, as they call them, Swifties, are wearing adult diapers while they go to the concert so they don't have to use the restroom? Lawrence refused to talk about this yesterday on the CHGO.
That can't be true.
Podcast. He's shaking his head.
That can't be true.
It is true. There's articles about it. I'm sorry, Lawrence. It's very interesting. You know, the funniest New Year's Eve thing I ever saw was they're interviewing people on Times Square, and they're like, we have been out here for 18 hours. They're like, how have you been out here for 18 hours? Have you used the restroom? And she's like, we're wearing diapers. And the person was like, back to you.
That's frightening.
That's nasty.
To the chat, who, as we get back to Bears here, has anybody ever worn a diaper to a Bears game because they didn't want to go to the bathroom to miss a moment? That can't be a thing. That's impossible. If you're gonna do that, I think you should sit home and just enjoy yourself and watch some Fubo TV. Thank you very much. Great transition, Carm. Way to go. 140 live channels of sports shows, movies, and news. You don't need diapers. You can just live the dream. Stream live to your TV from any device. And of course, you can watch the most Chicago sports for the lowest price. Start watching immediately. You can literally do it right after the show. Don't leave me now, because I'll have my abandonment issues will pop up. But after the show, you can do it, and you get a 7-day free trial. You like it, you keep it. You don't, you say goodbye. No contract, no cable, no hassles. Sign up, start watching. 1,000 hours of cloud DVR, so you can record all the movies that you want and da-da-da-da. Hook yourself up. And, yeah, we got the NBA Finals going on. We got the Cubs on Marquee. We got the White Sox and NBC Sports. They've got it all. Watch any, let's call it, let's watch the Cubs on their West Coast road trip come back in, or the Sox coming home with the Yankees this coming week on Marquee and or NBC Sports Chicago with Fubo TV. Use the link in the description to sign up. 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro.
Mark, I know you mentioned the Finals. Are the Heat done?
No. I mean, they're not done. They're not going to win, but they're not done.
Okay.
That's how I would answer that.
Okay.
Don't sleep on Jimmy here. I mean, no. I got the Nuggets in five, but let's do math. It's one game, and they were still lurking around late in the fourth quarter last night, so I don't think it's over.
You know what they need to do maybe to get back into game two? They got to get that energy going. Mark. And that starts with ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, which is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve, helping manage energy usage and lower energy bills there, Mark. You know that now and into the future.
You damn right I do, Nick. ComEd offers a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across the territory. ComEd also offers a free facility assessment that can help energy-saving opportunities like for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or the always elusive industrial processes.
A lot of stuff going on there, Mark. How exactly does that all work?
You know, Nick, I am so pleased to tell you that an authorized engineer that might look like Greg Braggs is going to work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. How you doing? This can be done in person or virtually. It does last about 2 hours. And then 3 to 4 weeks, customers are going to get a detailed energy efficiency project that they can start working on immediately. You'll get a recommendation for estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and a simple payback. If you own a business, do not wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to ComEd.com/poweringbiz.
I like our your boy Boogie here in the chat. Hey, Mark. Did you say ComEd.com/poweringbiz?
You boy, Boogie, you damn well know I did. Schedule it today. All right.
I love that. Our chat knows. They can do the show. They can do the ad reads. Yeah, hey, they know what's coming.
That's what you get, ComEd. People love you. They know you. They feel you. And they appreciate you. So we appreciate our friends at ComEd. All right. Breaking news, apparently, that we're going to have some guests on next week. Braggs, do you want to say who's on After Dark next week, or do you want to keep that a secret? Because I think our chat is going to be very interested in the name that you have lined up, if you're willing to go there.
I don't know. I think we're going to let it – I think we'll let
it – You want to let it marinate?
I think we'll let it marinate over the weekend. I don't know.
Are you worried that he's going to bail?
No, I don't think he'll bail. He's locked in. I mean, you want to give it away to the chat here?
I think we'll give it away
to the chat here between us girls. We're bringing on a heated rival of the podcasting world, the renowned Packers podcaster from Locked On Packers, Peter Bukowski, will be joining Bears After Dark next Wednesday, and we're gonna put him to the test. We're gonna put the cables on him a little bit. You know, we know he's a snarky Bears fan. He like Bears troll, I should say. So we're gonna bring him on, and we're gonna flex our muscles now that we're the better team. See what he has to say about that.
It's gonna be our first friendly battle. Steven is fired up, and we already got the AC Adam. I can't stand that guy. We know a lot of you are
not. There's a lot of people that don't like him, so we're gonna come together here and have a meeting of the mind and flex our muscle on him, because we got the better quarterback and the better team now. But we're, you know, I also with After Dark here going forward for the next month or so want to try to bring in some of these other teams and the people that cover them and see what they have to say, not only about the rivalry but about what they're doing on their side of the track. So, you know, it's a little learning lesson for us. So
I love it. I love it. So that's Bragg's doing the dirty work of going up to Green Bay to get the battle coming up on After Dark. A couple super chats coming in here. Steven Weatherford, if Fields became the best quarterback in Bears history, does that make Nagy responsible for two quarterbacks, Fields and Mahomes, from the super chat world? Steven Weatherford, $4.99. It's a little bit too much credit for Matt Nagy in my world, Steven, but technically, I suppose he gets 2% of the credit.
Yeah, it's very minimal, you know, because with Matt Nagy, it didn't look so good with Justin Fields. Just go back to the very first game that Justin Fields played for the Bears and what happened in that Browns game. Like, it wasn't right.
No disrespect to our Matt Nagy in the chat here, and even to the real Matt Nagy, because, you know, you gave it your best. You tried. It just didn't work. The biggest moment of putzdom, if I may use that word, when he went up to George McCaskey and asked him who he wanted starting at quarterback. You remember that? That it came back out, and George was like, I don't know why you're asking me that question.
Yeah, that's when, look, it's literally your job, Matt. Like, what are we doing here? You're asking George McCaskey? Like,
dude. You've been here for a while. Don't you know that guy doesn't know anything? Seriously.
You shouldn't have. That's such a huge like decision. And if you're going to go and ask, you know, George McCaskey, what's the answer to that question? That's where, you know, it's not going to go in the right place. And that's exactly where it went with Matt Nagy. And so to go to the other part with Mahomes, like, look, I think there's some credit that needs to be given to the coaches around Patrick Mahomes and how he's able to do what he's do. But like, I think wherever that guy would have went, even if the Bears would have drafted Patrick Mahomes, he was still going to be Patrick Mahomes. He's that kind of talent. He's that kind of dude. So to go back to the super chat, like, how much credit? Not too much.
Yeah. And I mean, does it matter where you get drafted? Yes. The concept that the Bears will screw up any quarterback, and that if Patrick Mahomes, if they had drafted him in Trubisky, then he, come on. They're not that. I refuse to believe that they're that incompetent, that if they actually drafted the right guy, they'd get it wrong. One more super chat from Chubbs, $5. Scotty is upset. I'm just trying to figure out if it's okay for us to read this. Scotty is upset because his basketballs are somewhere else. Chubbs, we're going to make this a night. You know, this is not an after dark moment here. Or in his ex-wife's purse at Jordan Seed's house. Okay, listen, the Scotty Michael thing, we've talked about it on the show. It's just so disappointing. It'd almost be like Walter Payton and like, you know, back in the day, like just saying that he hated Mike Singletary, or that he couldn't stand Richard Dent or Jim or even Jim McMahon. It's one of the most pathetic developments by an individual who benefited so much playing in this city with the greatest player to ever play anything. What a complete moron. And sad. Like, I don't know what's happened to you, dude. I don't know where your life has gone. I know that you were underpaid for many, 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 many years, but you also made $100 million+ playing the game. And I know the guy that you played with is a billionaire, and maybe you think you should be that, but $100 million you made? You should be living well, man. You should be a happy dude. You got to live your dream. You won 6 titles. You should have a smile on your face every damn ass day. If things aren't right in your life, you gotta look in the mirror. Don't look at Mike. What are you doing? So, yeah.
My girlfriend and I were just watching The Last Dance for a second time, and just seeing like those video clips, the images. Like, obviously they had a lot of fun winning and playing together, and with all this, it's sad to see, because that was a great time to be a Bulls fan. They had a lot of fun doing it, and now all this, it sours what was, like, again, so special. But yeah, you just got to look at yourself in the mirror, like you said, Mark, and see what's internally wrong.
Do we have Bear Tree available? Because Nick wanted to talk about Bear Tree before we get out here on this Friday and send you off on your day. And we appreciate you making time for
us, as
always. All right, thank you. Because at the end of the show yesterday, if you missed yesterday's show, I was out at Hallis Hall with Nick and with Hoagie, who's not here today. We miss you, Adam Hoag, but we'll be back on Monday. And I turn around and I see this tree, and I swear to God, the tree is talking to me, looking at me, just giving me all the energy. And I'm thinking to myself, that tree is alive. That tree is the ghost of Bears past. That tree is turning into a bear. And there it is. If you're watching on YouTube, you see the nose. That is a bear nose, and that is a bear eye winking at you. And then even if you go all the way up top to the main big branch in the middle, there's like a weird also like something going on up there, like it's almost like another bear that's hanging out on the okay. Right? That's hanging out on the bears. It's like two bears watching over. I swear to God, that right there, that is Hallis and I don't know, Red Grange. Somebody, that tree is alive. Look at that thing. You telling me that when that thing wasn't planted, and I tweeted it out, by the way, for the audio world. If you want to go to @thecarb, it's out there. That tree If you stare at that thing, I swear to God, if you stare long enough, it's going to start talking to you.
Okay, here's Dylan's comment right here. And this is actually one of the other animals that it looks like. It looks like a sloth, the sloth from Ice Age. If we were to pull up that and put it right next to it, the top of the middle branch looks like his face. And then the two branches coming out look like his arms. I don't know if you know who that is or if you could picture it if you're like listening to me, but that's who it looks like. And also the bear, of course, Mark. But yes, that was one of the thoughts that I had when Mark tweeted that. I'm like, what the hell? What animals are you seeing in this bear tree? This is the tree that's by the fields 3 and 4, like where we were at, right? For the OTA practice, Mark. Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That tree is watching practice every single day, and that's what it's turned into.
So, like, the thing is, too, it's kind of crazy. Like, the Bears had to take down a lot of the trees in that area to put those two fields out there. And yet, one of the remaining trees, the one that it's got Red Grange and all these bears in it, is this one right here. So, obviously, the bear tree is a thing. It's alive. Well, oversees everything that's going on. It's going to keep on growing, just like this Bears team, and lead them to the promised land.
I'm just, you know, we got OTAs on Wednesday. I'm going to be out there, and unless, you know, Bears personnel, if there's a reason that I can't do it, I'm going to go up to that tree, give it a hug, maybe do a video, and give it a pet, and tell them that everything's all right. We're in a good situation. Yes, Branks?
Well, I mean, we've put a halt on your singing, you know, and I think this is it. You brought it up twice this week. If we got to hear about this tree the rest of the summer, I'm going to start rioting with.
I'll just do it on my own. I'll do it on my own Twitter. You yeah. jerk.
Oh, there we go. That's amazing. There it is.
That who nailed that call?
Dylan had it.
I mean, I'm telling you, that tree. And for the record, by the way, nobody knows what's going on out there. We don't know, you know, nobody comes back and tells us what happens when we leave this world. I don't know what's going on in that tree. There could be some spirits in that tree just hanging out, football spirits. Let's go. Gail Sayers is like joined recently. RIP Gail. It's his birthday this week. I don't know who put out a tweet spelling his name wrong, but that guy should be fired.
We'll leave it a mystery.
Yeah, we'll leave that one a mystery. All right. I think I can announce what Hogue said in the Slack. What do you think, Nick? Is that private or is that not private?
Carms, no. Just let that be for us until next week. You don't have to tell everyone everything immediately. Like,
people need to know these things. It's promotion. No. Why don't we don't want to promote ourselves?
Because what if it falls through or like then changes it
through,
or something?
Then
like,
it falls through. No, then
here's what you need to know, everybody. Just you got to tune into the CHGO Bears podcast all next week. You can't miss fine. Any one of the episodes because you never know.
Former there Bear potentially on the show on Tuesday. That's all I'm saying. Fine. I will defer to my
he's still giving nuggets away.
Nuggets. It's a nugget. I can't give a nugget. Denver Nuggets, DNVR in Miami.
DNVR, shout out. They're nuggets in four.
You want to bet on that?
No.
Nuggets in four.
Why don't we double down on a lunch on that?
I'll owe you a lunch. But
yeah, you want to double down?
You know, like,
I'll bet you the Heat get a game.
They smoked them last night. So even if the Heat play a good game, then it's just going to – it's not like – it's not Nuggets in four. The matchup is just not good for Miami. The Cinderella has turned into a pumpkin.
I think you see Miami. A different Jimmy, hopefully in game two.
Are you making the bet or are you not making the bet?
No, I'm not making the bet. I already owe you a lunch.
Okay.
Fine, right. I'm making the bet. Lunch.
All right, yes.
Lunch
right.
bet. Okay, I'm going to get my lunch back.
Well, maybe you will, or we're going to double down. All right, everybody have a great weekend. Thanks so much for watching today. Nick, good to be with you. You too, Braggs. You too, Lawrence. We appreciate everybody, of course. And we're back Monday at noon as we're 97 days to the NFL opener and however many days to training camp. I asked this week, by the way, what's day one, and I did not get an answer yet. So I'm looking forward to whenever the hell that is. And just on the back end here, Crystal, welcome back to Chicago. See you in there. Brandon, appreciate the kind words. And hey, Braggs, you get an A, buddy. Show stayed on. We got the bear tree up. We had that weird graphic that Nick wanted, which was super interesting.
That was all Lawrence.
Yeah, well, the graphic. Whatever.
I'm not capable of that.
You brought in help when you needed help. That counts. And you didn't shit on him like Scottie Pippen did on the greatest player to ever play.
It takes a village, especially with me. I think I embody that. That's it. Great job, guys. I almost kept Karma on track for a whole show. I was like really proud of myself until the 50-minute mark. Then he went to the tree talk.
Well, right. And on that note, let's see if Greg knows how to end the show. Have a great weekend and go hug a tree.